Cynthia Brewer is a very interesting woman. She is one of the first women, or first person that I've ever met to come out and say that her body was used to develop and grow a chimera, which is a combination of many different types of animals, and I believe human, that was grown in her thigh. And that they did some horrible, horrible experiments upon her. And she was really very controversial to bring to this event, but I thought her story needed to be told. Now, whether it's true or not is another whole issue, and I'm not going there about whether it's true or not. But I can tell you this, if her story is what she says it is, and I have a tendency to believe her after looking at all the material she has on it, that poor woman has been through an absolute horrendous, horrendous thing has been perpetrated upon her. And I wish more people would take up the mantle to help her in her life. She's doing pretty good now. Things are very well for her, but still she had to, you know, through two psychiatric hospitalizations, they've mangled her body. She has been amputated. Part of her buttocks and thigh were amputated, and some really horrific things have happened to her. And I'm just surprised that she isn't one of those people that's just, you know, permanently for the rest of their lives stuck in a nut house somewhere because of what they've done to her. She's a strong lady. She's very smart, and she's got her act together. So, you know, I just hope everybody looks into her story. It's Cindy Brewer. She's up on Project Camelot from the past. You can find out more information about her. But, man, I'm telling you, what an interesting, interesting presentation she gave to our audience. Well, it was fabulous.
I've interviewed her, too.
Oh, you interviewed her as well? Yeah, she's very intriguing.
Hmm. James?
Yeah, I was about to say, some people's rooms were broken into. The deadbolt locks were
Are we going there, James? Are we going to go into all this? I guess we need to.
I mean,
let's do it. Let's do it. Okay. Now, I want to preface this again with, this only happened to some of the super soldiers and a few of the MyLab speakers. So it didn't happen to any of the attendees. It didn't happen to anybody there that was trying to get seek help. It didn't happen to any of the targeted individuals that we know of. It didn't happen to any of the Voice of Skull communication, mind control people. It just happened to a very small group that seems to be the core group of the first Super Soldier Summit. And I'm going to say it, and that's all I'm going to say at this point about who was involved, because I really don't know who was all involved. And to be honest with you, I don't even know it really happened. But according to Melinda Leslie, who has very much, probably very much, that's not very good English, she has the best recall memory of any of the MyLabs people that I've interviewed in the last, you know, years, about her abduction experiences from the government with the alien presence there with her. She remembers a lot. She's one of the few that has recall that is just phenomenal. So she woke up Sunday morning at the conference and said that she had been taken, and so had a small group of about 10 of us that were taken and taken down to the area where the trucks deliver items to the hotel, and that at that truck bay there were two Ryder trucks, and in the back of the two Ryder trucks were these three trip chairs, as you call them, James, where they do analysis of the people in the programs. And anyhow, three of them were in each truck, and there were two Ryder trucks with these items in them. We were taken by military. We were all drugged with a fast-acting type of scopolamine that only lasts for maybe 2 hours tops. And apparently, we were all taken down there, and we, you know, three at a time into each truck until they were done with us. It only took about an hour, and they take us back up to our rooms, put us back to bed, and we didn't know anything had happened. Now, this is what Melinda says, and I didn't believe any of this, James, at all for months and months. I mean, now it was in May, supposedly happened. Everybody was talking about it, and apparently one of the guys that was taking us out of our rooms, that was part of the military that was perpetuating this upon us, or perpetrating this upon us, broke the door locks. Is that right, Jim? Because I never saw him, James. I didn't see what had happened with these rooms, but apparently,
yeah, they're like the deadbolt lock in the hotel room.
Yeah,
they were like
apparently
cracked and busted open.
Yeah, they were broken in half, I think, because the guys started to go out of the rooms with us and forgot to undo them and pulled the door so hard it broke them in half or off their – or pulled their hinges out. That's what happened. Pulled the hinges out of the door, supposedly. Okay, now this is May. I'm hearing about all this on Sunday morning. I'm getting all these people come up to me, Jay, we were abducted last night and this all happened. I'm like, you guys are all crazy, man. There's no way we got abducted. You guys nuts. I mean, that's basically what I told everybody. Because, you know, again, I'm very grounded. I don't believe a lot of this stuff happens. And I think, you know, that 90% of it is kind of out there, and the 10% of it may be true. And if even 1% of it's true, then we got a problem, and I need to, you know, help these guys deal with it. But in that moment, I'm like, nah, you guys are all crazy. So I go about my life, and things go on. It's now September. Melinda Leslie calls me on the phone one day, and she goes, Lorian, I heard that you don't believe this. And I said, well, no, I don't, but you tell me your story, what happened. So apparently, she had taken notes the next morning on Sunday, when, like she does a lot of times when she has an abduction experience, she'll make notes immediately. And so she made a whole page, you know, two or three pages of notes, and then kind of forgot about it for a while. And was, you know, she did talk to people on Sunday, and they were corroborating her story, but she didn't want to get her thought process about the whole thing polluted, so she asked people not to talk to her about it. And that was good. I thought that was very good. As a researcher, she's one of the best out there when it comes to that. She doesn't allow other people's experience to pollute hers until she actually gets the story out and interviews everybody that was involved in the scenario. So she calls me in September, and I start listening to this, and lo and behold, folks, I just couldn't even believe this was coming out of my mouth. She's talking about what the guys looked like, that and what kind of clothes they were wearing as they were taking us out of the room. And she says to me, yeah, the guy was wearing desert camo pants. And then I said to her, and before she could even finish her sentence, I said, and a tan t-shirt, I saw dog tags, and he was wearing a hat that was the camo hat, just like the pants, but it's round, and it's got a flat top and a short bill. And she just went, oh my God, you're reading exactly what I wrote here. You know, to a T, exactly what I wrote. She goes, you must have seen it. You must remember this. Because why would you be telling me this, Lorian, if it wasn't in your head already?